Well, we want to greet all of you in the precious name of the Lord this morning. When we walked in, Pat says, would you mind making a comment or two about Veterans Day? And I says, yeah, I love the veterans. And one of the reasons we appreciate the veterans is, well, for over 250 years, we've lived in a free country, folks, because of them. And we have a son, Major Craig Rumble. He's serving in Hickman, over at Hickman, is there a Hickman Air Force Base in Honolulu? What a great place to live. And he's been in the military for 15 years now. Talking to him the other day, he's been on 275 missions on every continent except the Antarctica. And we appreciate what he does, what all the veterans have done. And I don't think there's a smile wide enough, a hug strong enough, a prayer long enough to show our appreciation for you folks. And I'd just like to offer another prayer for them. Father, thank you. Thank you for the men and women, the heroes and the sheroes, and those that have stood in the gap for so many times. And thank you for the veterans that have just shared with us over the years the enjoyment they had in standing in the gap for us. Thank you that we live in a nation that we can stand loud and proud and be in a country that has been so blessed like we've enjoyed. May your name be lifted up today, and may we be grateful for the men and women that have lived for us. In Christ's name we pray, amen. Well, I'm going to ask you a question today. It's a rhetorical question because I already know the answer for most of you. And the question is, who are you? Who are you? If you could give a one-sentence answer today of looking in the mirror, who are you, what would you say? And I would like to read in 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 4 through 10. As we think about who we are, our new identity. You are coming to Christ, who is the living cornerstone of God's temple. He was rejected by the people, but he was chosen by God for great honor. And you are living stones that God is building into his spiritual temple. What's more, you are his holy priest. Through the meditation of Jesus Christ, you offer spiritual sacrifices that please God. As the scriptures say, I am placing a cornerstone in Jerusalem, chosen for great honor. And anyone who trusts in him will never be disgraced. Yes, you who trust him, recognize the honor that God has given him. But for those that reject him, the stone that the builders rejected has now become the cornerstone. And he is the stone that makes people stumble, the rock that makes them fall. They stumble because they do not obey God's word, and so they meet the fate that was planned for them. But you are not like that, for you are a chosen people. You are a royal priest, a holy nation, God's very own possession. And as a result, you can show others the goodness of God. For he called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once you had no identity as a people, now you are God's people. Once you received no mercy, but now you receive God's mercy. So who are you? There's over 313 verses in the Word of God. I call them co-crucifixion identity scriptures. And that's who we are this morning. He says in John 15, you didn't choose me, I chose you. And not only did he choose us, but the Bible says that for you are a chosen people for my heritage. Who are you? There's many times in our walk that, and I think probably everybody here, at some point in your journey, you've probably felt like Humpty Dumpty. You sat on the wall for a while, but you fell off and you feel like you're in a bunch of broken pieces. And sometimes, even as believers, we get to a point we feel like that they're irreparable. Less than perfect, no value, not good enough, not smart enough, not righteous enough. Why would God ever want to accept me? In fact, there was a newspaper article a few years back in the U.S. News, and the article was, Science cannot explain the question, who am I? Who am I? And we're living in a culture today that people are frantic trying to answer that question. And they're doing everything they can to try to be accepted. And yet the Word of God is always there telling us who we really are. Who's Gordon Rumble? If you would have asked that question in grammar school, you would have said he likes to play kickball. If you'd asked that question in high school, you'd say he's a future farmer of America. If you'd have asked that question a few years later, you'd say he has a family of three children and he farms a lot. But that's not who I am. That's not my identity. My identity, according to the authority of God's word, is I am a chosen, born again child of the King. And any one of you that has made a beeline to Calvary, you're the same. You're not Humpty Dumpty. And that's what Peter is talking about here. We belong to God. We are living stones, royal priests. We are separated unto him as a holy nation. So we're going to look at this little passage here today, and I think it's going to touch on a very incredible doctrine, one of my favorite. And that is the doctrine of justification by faith in Christ alone. Because that answers the question of our identity. Brant, go get me a drink of water. Somebody's already thinking about it. Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, one of the greatest grandsons you'll ever see. Thanks, buddy. You got more muscles than I do. In fact, this was Peter's audience here. As you look at the Word of God, it's about 5 years before Jerusalem was going to be destroyed. And it's about probably 50 years after the Savior had gone home, maybe 60. And so you had an audience here. These people here, they were saved and they came to the Lord and they were in the body of Christ. They were baptized. And yet, because of the circumstances and the persecution, they were really doubting their position in the Lord. That's why Peter writes what he did. And when your identity is starting to be questioned, and believe me, it doesn't matter how much scripture you know or how often you go to church, when you begin to question your identity, Satan has an inroad and he will cripple our journey. They were questioning that. They didn't really understand who they were. And even though they had salvation, and Satan was not taking that away, what he was taking away was the joy of knowing who they were that definitely affected how they acted. Hasn't changed for 3,000 years. I'd like to start today by thinking that our identity is not based on our feelings. What do you feel like right now? There's times that I wake up and I don't feel very righteous. There's days that I have walked and did some pretty crummy things that I even question, why would the Lord want to accept me? My feelings does not change my identity. My experiences don't change it. My opinion doesn't change it. My identity is not based on my feelings, or I would be somebody different every single day. I want to mention a poem. I want you to think about three men on a wall. There they are, right there. Three men were walking on a wall. I want you to consider their names: feeling, faith, and fact, or the truth of God's word. So you got three men walking on a wall. This is the way the poem goes. Three men were walking on a wall, feeling, faith, and fact. Feeling, he took a terrible fall, and faith was pulled way back. Faith got so entangled with feeling that he fell too. Fact remained, that brought faith, and that brought feeling too. That's a long poem. But let's go through it again. Three men were on a wall. You got feelings, we all have them. We got our faith in Christ, and you got the truth or the fact of God's word, which will never move. Three men were walking on a wall, feeling, faith, and fact. Feeling took a terrible fall. Faith was pulled way back. Faith got so entangled with feeling that he fell too. But fact remained, brought faith up, and that brought feelings too. You know, that's kind of the journey of our life. There are times that you and I, and the Bible does say that we do sin, there are times in our life that we do crummy things. We grieve the Spirit. We dishonor him. And if we don't run to Calvary in quick confession, the Holy Spirit is very good at what he does. And it will put you through a period of discomfort. David had it. He got so entangled with his feelings. The Bible says in Psalm 32 that his moisture turned to the drought of summer. His bones, they waxed old. Same thing that can happen to us. We get so involved with our feelings, and before you know it, you start to doubt who you are. And you're going to start acting different. You know what I'm talking about. But folks, when Jesus says that you're declared righteous and the gavel came down, that ain't going to change. I am in Christ declared righteous. He is in me to make me righteous. I'm in Christ for sanctification. He's in me to make me sanctified. I want you to imagine a mighty Russian river. It's 10 miles wide. And not only is it a rushing river that is going 100 miles an hour with rapids. And in that river is piranhas and sharks everywhere. And the edict comes down that if you want salvation, you got to swim across the river for 10 miles. Good luck. Some people make it 3 feet. Some people try it and they dive in and they don't even make it 10 feet. They're either shredded or they die. And one man jumps in. His name is Christ. He swam through the river. He came up to the other side and he stood on the bank and he raised his arms in victory and he said, I did it. I'll tell you what he didn't do after that. He didn't come back to the other side and say, I swam it, now you do it. He didn't say that, folks. A lot of people try. He did it. And when he was on Calvary, he said, it's finished. And when he said it's finished, that forever solidifies who you really are in him. Wow. While we're yet sinners, Christ swam, died for us. Wow. It's so important that we focus on what he did, not on what you're doing. It is all about his faithfulness. Bible says in Hebrews, but what? It says there in Hebrews, by himself he purged our sins. He swam the river. That made me a chosen possession. And not only is our identity in Christ, but our identity is believing God's view of me. Again, who are you this morning? You're the light of the world. You are the salt of the earth. You are adopted. You're joint heirs. You're a living stone. You've been chosen, the Bible says, by God himself. He says one place in 2 Corinthians 5 and 17, he says, how does that go? If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things, the old life, has passed away. Behold, all things are new. A new man. Same name. New man. Settled. And we need to believe God's view of what he looks at us. How did Abraham become a child of God? It sure wasn't because he went to Egypt and lied about his wife. It wasn't because he left the land of Ur. He didn't obey everything there. He became a child of the king when he believed in God. And the Bible says it was placed into his account righteousness. It's believing what the word says about us that makes all the difference. Let's ratchet this thing really close and really simple. The blood of Christ made everyone in this room safe. You understand that? He died, his blood purchased us, and we're safe, settled. But the word of God will make you certain. There's a lot of believers running around today, and oh, they took the sip that saves, and they're in Christ, but they don't live a life that is honoring to him. They don't even know who they are really, and they're living the same old lifestyle because they don't trust what the word is. Blood made you safe. The word of God will make you certain. A living stone, a spiritual temple. That is so humbling. To think that he that was sinless became sin for us, that we might become or be called the child of God. Wow. It's awful hard to say this, but don't check your pulse. Don't check your feelings. Don't check your present experiences. Don't rely on somebody else's opinion about you. Just look at the Word of God and trust what it says. My brother Aaron and I, I forget where we went, but we came back and we compiled 313 of those scriptures. And every once in a while, I need to get them out and I need to look at them. And every one is an identity scripture. 313 in the Bible. You want to feel good about yourself? Memorize those. That's who we are. How many of you, of course, 1982, that places half of you in here not even born, huh? 1982, how much of you old people remember the famous catch? None of you. Oh, good. A few righteous people here. Well, the famous catch was made in 1982 by Dwight Clark of the 49ers. And on that day in January, when he made that catch, this is what happened. 69,000 people stood in unison, raised their hands, and said these words, "We won! We won!" Now, what do you think was going through Joe Montana's mind as he looked at the stands? Do you think he was saying, "What did you do? What did you do? You didn't do anything." 2,000 years ago, Christ entered the stadium of death and conflict and sin, and he died for us, that each one of us today, 2,000 years later, can stand and say, "We won. We won." We were all dead. We were doomed. We were depraved. We were damned. And he died for us. We won. Then why, as a purchased possession, do I live so often like an orphan? It's because I look at my feelings and I question my experiences. Happens all the time, folks. And one of the saddest things it happens to me, and that's why I'm going to say this. One of the saddest things that happens in our journey is the devil comes along and he starts to whisper in your ear, and he takes you on this archaeological expedition of your past. Look what you did 10 years ago, 20 years ago, 50 years ago. And it's all been forgiven. And we cripple ourselves because he don't even know what you're talking about. It's forgiven and forgotten. And we find ourselves praying for garbage of the past. And the Satan is saying, "That's who you are. That's who you are. And if I want to remain a cripple, then I fall for the lie." No. If I want to enjoy the journey, it says here in Peter, there is a holy nation of us here today. We've been separated unto him first, that we can live a separate life to glorify him as the light of the earth, or a light of the world, salt of the earth. We're children of the same family. We're not dead stones, we're living stones. Titus says one place, as a King James Version, "You're a peculiar people. You're odd." That's what the world says you are. You are an odd people. But folks, they spell it not the way we do. They say, "You are ODD. You're odd." We spell it different. It's AWED. We are odd. And the more we are in love in him, for him, and in him, and to him, and we love him, it's going to change our life and our walk. You're valuable people. Wow. I want you to imagine that I come to your home this afternoon, and I say, "I've got a deal for you." And I walk in there, and you can see immediately when I walk in, the box that I'm carrying is a very valuable box, just the box itself. It's diamond studded, and I let you hold it, and it's got gold around it. So you know the box is even worth a lot. And I say, you know what? Trust me. There is something inside. I'm going to let you buy it for $50,000. And you say, that's a lot of money. And I beg you, there is something in this box, believe me, better than the box. Would you be willing to pay for what's in it for $50,000? And CD says, yeah, I'll buy it. Thanks, CD. And he opens the box, and there's a dirty penny in it. And the first thing that he thinks, I got took. And he said, Gordon, you took me. And I asked, no, CD, I have one question for you. That penny is worth what you were willing to pay for it. It's worth $50,000. You are worth what Christ was willing to pay for it. That's who you are. Redeemed not with silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ. Wow. That's who you are. When I was a little boy, one of our favorite things, we go get an ammon pole. And for the younger generation, an ammon pole is just a long stick, 15 feet long sometimes. And we'd take these ammon poles and we'd put them on the palm of our hand, and it was really fun. You can take an ammon pole, and as long as you look at the tip of the ammon pole, you can carry that thing and impress a lot of people. And you're like this, and that ammon pole never wavers. It's just straight, 15 feet. The minute you look at your hand, it flops. It goes out of balance. Folks, it's no different for you and I today. You start focusing on your feelings and your experiences and your mistakes, because you're going to make them the rest of the journey. You're never going to feel good about yourself. You're going to start to doubt your identity. You're going to wonder if you've ever even been saved. That is not what to focus on. Bible says in Colossians, what? Set your affections on things above. Not on things of the earth. Not on the horizontal. And the more we do that, we realize that I am a child. He did score the winning touchdown. He did swim the river for me. I know that my identity has been settled. And what God tells me that I am in position is how I should be living out in my practice. Wow. One of our presidents of the United States during their campaign, and I don't remember which president it was, but he decided that I want to go to an old retired community or rest home, and I just want to visit the old people there. Maybe get some votes, I don't know. But the story goes that this president walked in, and he would go up and down the hallway shaking the people that was in their wheelchairs and with their walkers. And he seen an old lady over in the corner in her wheelchair with her head down. And the president of the United States walked over and grabbed her hand, and she looked up at him, and he says, ma'am, do you know who I am? And she smiles, and she says, well, young man, I don't, but if you go over to the nursing station, they'll tell you your name. Who are you today? If you don't know, open the Word of God. And it's going to tell you who you are. I have a final question before we pray. If you live the rest of your life without making a difference, what difference does it make that you even lived? You remember what the Bible says? He chose you. He has a plan for you. Our Father doesn't make mistakes. He chose you from the foundation of the world that you might live to glorify Him with your life. Don't listen to the devil. He got his teeth kicked in at Calvary. He's been gumming it for 2,000 years. Don't listen to the lies. If you live without making a difference, what difference does it make that you've lived? His divine influence will make a difference for all of us. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for today. We confess there's so many times in our life that we waver and we doubt and we focus on the wrong things and we just flop around. And Father, we are just, we're spastics without you. Without you, can't do anything. Deliver any of us from any conceit that we really have things together, because we don't. We need you. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the guidance of the Spirit. And we thank you for the promises of the word that just tell us exactly who we are. Living stones, royal priest, a holy nation that can live for your glory. We thank you in Christ's name. Amen.